Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Piedmont Tunnel Springs, Alabama, 364-7125-1564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend Wayne Olive is our pastor. Sister George Olive is our first lady. Our clerk is Miss Lisa Starvis. Sunday school is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And just like a lot of churches, we are broadcasting over the internet every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. I'm your superintendent with the Sunday school lesson for today. Worship services at 8 a.m., 8:30 a.m. On the 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays. Coming up this 4th Sunday will be a communion service. We hope that you will be present and take part in it. Our Sunday school lesson for today, August the 16th, is Just Do It. Living Faith. Our Sunday school is going to come from Matthew's, the 18th chapter, 23rd to 35th verse. The background scripture is going to come from James, the 2nd chapter, 14 to 26. And the printed text is going to come from James, the 2nd chapter, 14 through the 26th verse. Our daily reading for the week. All of these lessons, daily readings, will help you better understand the lesson when you finally get to the Sunday school lesson, which will be coming from James, the 14th chapter, James, the 2nd chapter, 14 to 26 verse. We begin with Abraham blessed for fearing God. This comes from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, the 9th through the 19th verse. 9th through the 19th verse. Let us begin, starting at the 9th verse. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thy anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the moment of the Lord it shall be seen. Verse number 15, And the angel of the Lord called upon Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Verse 17, That in blessing I will bless thee, and in the multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashores, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Verse 18, And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Verse 19, So Abraham returned unto his young man, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Our next outline will come from Joshua, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 7. Spies are saved by Rahab. Quick action. In the lineage of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, our Creator, who came down through 43 generations, is Rahab the harlot. Spies are saved by Rahab. Quick action. Joshua, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 7, and it reads, Rahab's shelter of spies, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim, two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Verse number two. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came into me men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent away Rahab, saying, bring forth the men who are come to thee, who are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I knew not where they were. Verse 5, and it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Verse 6, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which is she had laid in order upon the roof. And verse 7, and the men pursued after them by the way of Jordan unto the fords. As soon as they were pursued after them, they gone out, they shut the gate. Okay, the third outline, which will be coming from Matthew's, the 18th chapter, 23rd through 35th verse, forgive others like God forgave you. All right? Forgive others like God forgave you. Matthew, the 18th chapter, 23rd through the 35th verse. Let us begin. The 23rd verse. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servant. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had nothing with which to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying unto the Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hand on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what he was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that thou did because thou besought me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the lord was angry and delivered him to the inquisitor till he could pay all that was due him. So likewise shall all heavenly fathers do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother his trespasses. Just like God forgave you, you should be able to forgive others as well. All right, that was forgive others like God forgave you. And one of the reminders is that if you don't forgive others, God won't be forgiving you. All right, as we go to the fourth outline, which is going to be coming from Titus, the third chapter, verses 1 through 2 and 8 through 11. Devoted to good works, avoiding distraction. Titus, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2, and 8 through 11. Titus, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. Put then in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. It's showing you about a behavior. Let's look at how you should obey authority, and in a manner how you should do work. Okay, let's look at 8 through 11, verses 8 through 11 as you turn the pages. Verses 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they who have believed in God might be carefully to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questioning and generalities and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and his second admonition rejects, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned himself. Powerful words in regards to how you should work and behave and avoid distractions and doing vain things that has no value, but do things that are sound, do good works. Right. All right, let's go to the next outline. This is works guided by loyalty to God. Works guided by loyalty to God. I've heard many say that in oftentimes that whenever you go to work, you go to work as if you're working for God. And that is one way that you go to work without worrying about this, that, and other things, but you go to work as if working for God. Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 9. Let's begin with verse number 4, and it reads, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Verse number 6, parents to instruct children, and these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. So be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach thy children unto thy children, and shalt talk to them, then that sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse number 8, And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontals between thine eyes. Verse number 9, and it reads, And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gate. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought into thee the land which he swore to thy fathers and Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and godly cities which thou buildest not. Verse number 11, and it reads, An house full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells which diggest, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olives, which thou plantest not, and thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse number 12, Then beware that thou forget the Lord who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse number 13, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name. This is in regards to the children of Israel about receiving things in which they did not work for, eating vineyards from which they did not plant, drinking from wells in which they did not dig. It shows you how God can bless you. Parents to instruct your children in the morning, in the daytime, all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even they're getting up, when they're going out, when they're coming in. Now, to teach them in a way that they should go as an adult. There's a saying that scripture that said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. There's an old saying that from the old folks in the old days, it said, bend a sap when it's young. And though it's a small tree, you can bend it when it's young, but when it becomes a big tree, you can do nothing with it. The same there with children. You can teach them while they're young, but when they become grown, it is too late for them to be taught. So you should teach them early. It's not too late to be taught, but most of the time when people be grown, they're going to do what they want to do. And you just, when you're young and they're in the house with you, you teach them and train them in the ways of God and how they should live as an adult. And when they get old, they won't depart from it. All right, that was Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 9, as well as through 13. Let's go to James, the 2nd chapter, 8 through 13. Receive God's mercy by showing mercy. Receive God's mercy by showing mercy. James, the 2nd chapter, verses 8 through 13, and it reads, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, do well. Verse 9, but if ye have respect of a person, ye commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. And it continues, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. We hope you understand that thoroughly. Some people talk about little sin, big sins, break this law, that law, whatever. If you break one, you break them all. Verse 11, for he that says, do not commit adultery, and also not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Let's go to verse number 12. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Verse number 13, and it reads, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Man, that is so powerful and clear there. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that he has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Now let's go to your Sunday school lesson for August the 16th. Faith and works must go together. James, the 2nd chapter, verses 14 through 26. James, the 2nd chapter, verses 14 through 26. We know that our devotional reading comes from Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 23rd through 25th verse. Our background scripture comes from James, the 2nd chapter, 14 through 26, as well as the print comes from James, the 2nd chapter, 14 through 26 verse. And the key verse, a very much verse that we are very familiar with, and we all should understand it. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead. That is saying, faith without work is dead. You cannot please God without faith. You can't please God if you don't have faith. Okay? Our Lord's subject is just do it. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead. James, the 2nd chapter, and the 26th verse. As a result of experiencing this lesson, the participant should be able to do these things. Compare and contrast a faith that is no more than empty talk with a faith that is proved by action. Talk, 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 talk it, no work. That's all no good. You have to talk it as well as walk it. You have to talk it as well as do it. Reflect on the power of Abraham and Rahab, example of faith in action. It is powerful there in that you should understand Rahab was a harlot. And she, instead of showing the commanders and the people that was over the land at that time about Abraham, then Rahab decided to hide them from the soldiers and from the governors of at the time because they were coming to spy out the land. Okay, commit to demonstrating faith with tangible work. Faith with tangible work. Commit to faith with tangible work. Some key terms you should believe as have faith and trust, in trust. understand what dead mean, Greeks, because the Nikos, lifeless, subject to death, a corpse. Faith, verse 14, Greek pious, we have trust, confident, fidelity, faithfulness. Peace, verse 16, Greek, peace of mind, quietness. Save, Greek word, to heal, prefer, rescue. To show, Greek, it's word, to show, exhibit, demonstrate, point out, to show. All right, let us continue. Why this lesson matters. Some people make bold claims about the standards by which they live, but their actions deny those claims. How can we tell when someone is genuine? James says that the one who has faith will demonstrate that faith by his or her works, as did Abraham and Rahab. The lesson in focus. Most of us are familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan. We have all chastised the preacher and the deacon for being so careless and praising the Samaritan for being so caring. However, if we take a careful inventory of our own lives, we will remember how we have on more than one occasion done something similar. Well, we may not have left someone sitting on the side of the road injured. Instead, we may have had a member of our congregation in need for whom we were quick to say that we were going to pray, yet did not take any steps to actually help the person. How familiar that is. Oh man, I'll pray for you. That is a common saying on Facebook. What about the action? Praying. Sometimes folks need finances. Sometimes folks need clothes. Sometimes folks need actual help, physical help, instead of prayers. Prayers are good, but they need actual help. The sad part of the "I'll pray for you" line is that we all use it to justify doing nothing. James, in his epistle, made it clear that the proclamation of our faith aren't good enough. Real faith shows itself in God-worthy action. God-worthy action. Let's take a marriage for example. Of course, it is nice to proclaim our love for our spouses. However, we never back up our words with action. We could find ourselves in deep trouble. It is no different when it comes to our faith. Yes, God appreciates our proclamation of our faith in Him. However, He also wants us to be His hands and His feet in the world, ministering to the least of these. Yes, I know that we are fearful of being taken advantage of, where there are countless organizations and communities in which we can volunteer to assist in outreach efforts to the poor and disadvantaged. It is easier as a phone call, email, text, or Facebook inbox to connect. The Nike motto is only become true by physical activity, but it's also true of the exercise of faith. Just do it. Just do it. All right, the lesson in context. Two characters mentioned in the biblical text are Abraham and Rahab. Abraham, the Bible dictionary provides the following description of Abraham's faith. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament emphasize Abraham's faith in God. Note that in each Genesis incident, faith involves specific responses to God's revelations and was expressed through obedience. This pattern in which God initiates the man's response is seen throughout Scripture. Romans 4 contains the New Testament commentary on Abraham as a man of faith. Rahab had a unique path of faith to God as described in the God Question organization. Spiritually, Rahab was not in an ideal circumstance to come to faith in the one true God, the God of Israel. She was a citizen of a wicked city that was under God's condemnation. Rahab was part of a corrupt, depraved, pagan culture. She had not benefited, from the God leadership of Moses and Joshua. However, Rahab had one asset. She had heard from the many men she came into contact with that of the Israelites were to be feared. She heard the stories of their escape from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the wandering in the wilderness, their recent victory over the Amorites. She learned enough to reach and correct the saying. Conclusion. Enough to reach the correct saving conclusion. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above. Oh, that's powerful, isn't it? And on the earth below. Joshua 2:11. It is this change of heart, this faith, coupled with the action prompted by faith, that saved her and her family. All right. Insight. Reflecting on James 2:26, Dave Brandon shared the following comments. You can find them at httpodb.org, 2002-9-12, jail to free others. The missionary had been jailed for more than 2 weeks. He was struck behind bars. He was stuck behind bars in Kosovo prison because he had tried to tell others about Jesus Christ. The missionary discovered that their friend had been witnessing to the fellow inmates. And when they had told him that he was about to be let out of jail, he said, "No, not yet. Give me another week. I need more time to share the gospel with these people." What does it take for a person to be so burdened for others that he's willing to stay locked up so he can continue to proclaim the gospel? It takes a faith that results in action, not just thoughts and words. James 2:26. Number one, it takes a faith that results in action. Do we have that kind of faith? Exploration. You should begin by asking yourself, as well as your students, if a stranger asked you to define faith, and that would you answer. What would you answer if someone asked you to define faith? Next, use one of the introductory stories about faith in action. Be sure to keep the lesson aim in mind as you share. As you guide yourself through the lesson outline, keep faith in action in mind. Finally, as you close the lesson, use one of the end of the closed lesson calls to action to encourage you to just do it. Just take some action. Stop talking about, "I'll pray for you." They may need money. Give them money. They may need clothing. Give them clothes. Just do it in the weeks to come. You should consider closing with a special prayer of encouragement for yourself as well as others. All right, commentary, James, the second chapter, 14-19 verse. Let us begin. What doth it profit, my brethren, through a man say he has faith and have no works? Can faith save him? Look at that. Oh, faith without work is dead. You got to have both. If a brother can, a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, if you're praying for them, no, they need clothing and they need food. Okay? And one of you say unto them, "Depart in the peace, be ye warm and filled." Oh, be ye warm and filled. Oh, tell them to be warm and to be full. They need clothing to be warm and they need food to be filled up. Okay? Notwithstanding peace, you're warm and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Oh, isn't that so clear there? Absolutely clear there. Even so, faith hath not work is dead being alone. Faith without work is dead. Absolutely. You got to put faith into action. Oh, I want to go to Monroe. You can want to go to Monroe all day. Until you get up and head to Monroe, you won't be getting to Monroe. You're just talking smack. You're not going to get to Monroe talking. Yes, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have worked. Show me the faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Look at that. Faith, action. Faith, action. Work, action. Work, faith. Faith, work. They are hand in hand. It's like one step, two step. One step, two step. In other words, you can take one step and don't take the other one. You just stay in one place. You got to have faith and you got to have work. You got to have work and you got to have faith. It's a continuing thing. One step ahead of the other. One, two, one, two. That's how it works. Faith and work works together. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. Look at that. The devil believes there's a God and trembles. What about you? If you believe there's a God, there's work for you to do. Go to work. Go to work. To put James' question in verse 14 and 16 in perspective, we have remembered that he was writing to people who said that they had faith. Since those listening were Jews first before becoming Christian, some may have influenced by the action of the Pharisees and other Jewish religious leaders who talked a great religious but were short in practicing true religion. James even questioned whether believers who had faith without works were actually saved. James next asked his readers what they would do if one of their fellow Jewish Christians needed clothing or food. That's in verse 15. He had probably heard stories of fellow Jewish Christians who had simply shared words of faith, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but did not demonstrate faith in action. Ironically, the phrase go in peace traces its roots to the Hebrew greeting shalom. When a fellow Hebrew greeted another Hebrew in that way, that person is literally saying, I'm in harmony mind, body, and spirit. I wish the same for you. A person who is hungry and naked cannot be in harmony. So most definitely, faith without work is dead. Faith without work is dead. You say it, I will. God bless you. Bless him. Give him something to bless him with, to be blessed with. James continued by asserting care forcefully that we cannot separate the two, but someone will say, ye have faith, I have deeds. Show me faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that God is one, see verse 19, refers to the most basic tenets of the Jewish faith, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Demons believe God exists, but they don't trust God. Likewise, James readers could find someone among those who believed that faith could exist without work. All right, here's an adult question for you. Since one hospital stay may cost upwards to $100,000, what are some effective ways for us to help those in our congregation with such needs? Give them some money to pay for the hospital bill. That's what you do. Another adult question. As you think about biblical and contemporary examples of faith, bring some ways you can put faith into action where there is a person in need. Where there's a person in need, contribute. Contribute $1, $2, $3, whatever, $5, $10, $5, whatever you can give. God will bless it. Give what you have from your heart. Let's look at James, the second chapter, verses 20 through 24. But without know, O vain man, that faith without work is dead. Do you know it? Do you know it? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Then he had offered Isaac up his son upon the altar. Look at Isaac. He was offering up his son. Abraham was offering up his son, Isaac. Look at that. Drew his hand back with the knife to take his life, to save the life of his son. Seeing that I had faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. It's by weight, by works, as well as faith. Okay. Let us continue. James continued addressing those skeptical person in verse 20. James and Paul both use Genesis 15 and 6 in their teaching about being counted right by God. Paul focused on saving faith. See Romans 4, 9 through 25. Galatians 3, 6 through 9. While James focused on faith in action, verses 23, James supported the notion of faith in action with his reference to Abraham sacrificing his son on Mount Moriah. That's in verses 21 and see Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Abraham did more than proclaim utter words. His faith in God, he demonstrated by an action with it, which allowed Abraham to grow in his faith. It was a mix of his faith and his action, verses 22 in the NIV version. True faith produces deeds, work, in terms. These deeds allow the believer to mature. made perfect in their relationship with the Lord, because God counted and imputed Abraham righteous. Abraham was bestowed title friend of God. Abraham is the only person given this title in the Bible. Both James and Paul emphasize that the real faith lead believers to live transformed lives of faith and works. That's in seeing in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Galatians 5, and 13 through 26. A key question for you here. Consider verses 20 through 24. How would you respond to a fellow, another faith who claims that only certain people can be saved? Oh, how about that? How about that? Consider that. Consider that. But thou art thou know, O vain man, that faith without work is dead. You gotta work as well as take action. You gotta have faith, take action. Action, work. Faith, take action. Okay? Describe your own words with a living faith might look like in today's society as compared to a dead faith. All right, we just like we said before, you're going to Monroe. You get up and you head for Monroe. You take one step after another, then another step. You have faith to take another step and another step, another step. And those steps can be you walking. Those steps can be you earning money to get you a vehicle to go to Monroe. Get in the car, crank the car up, drive, turn the wheel, whatever you're going to do. Faith in what you're going to do. Faith that you want to get to Monroe. And that takes action. Takes action. Let's look at James, the second chapter, 25th through 26th verse, and it reads as follows. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What was Rahab doing? Rahab was protected and hiding those soldiers from the soldiers that were looking for them. They come to spy out the land to see what they were going to do in it. But Rahab protected them. Rahab could have turned them in. Rahab could have did nothing. Oh, y'all be safe. Y'all be safe. But she took action. She said, y'all be safe. But she took action. She made them safe. She hid them up on top of the house and covered them up with corn stalks and flax and leaves and stuff, whatever she covered them up with. She took action. She could have said again, y'all going to be safe. It's going to be all right. Ain't nobody going to bother you. And you do nothing about it. But you do something. Rahab did something about it. She told him and took him up on the roof and saved. In the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. See? She sent them on a goose chase. That time it gave them people up on the roof time to be safe and to get spy out the land and do what they needed to do. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith is without work without deed is dead. As the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. All right, talking about the living body. Let's finish the last outline. Abraham verses 21 through 23 and Rahab verses 25 are both cited examples of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 8 through 19 and verse 31. Respectively, Abraham had his lapse in faith in Genesis 12, 10 and 20, 16, verses 1 to 16 and verses 21 through 18. Yet his lapse were nothing compared to the life of Rahab. James' listeners were following along intently to his inclusion of Abraham and the example of faith and works in action. However, it had to have been a shock to their system to hear about Rahab. Sure she hid the Hebrew spies. See Joshua 2. All right? Sure she hid him and was an ancestor of Jesus. You know, she was in his bloodline. Rahab was. Look at that. The harlot in the ancestral line of Jesus Christ. That's in Matthew 1 and 5. But she was also a non-Jew from a foreign people that did not worship the one true and living God. Look at all of that. Look at all of that. Huh? To top it off, she was a prostitute. Yet James included her. Why? He probably included her for two reasons. First, he knew that the gospel message would come soon to the Gentiles, since it is broadly assumed that he wrote his epistle prior to Peter's ministry in Cornelius' house. You see, Acts 10. James was planting a seed for what was so come second, if God counted as righteous a pagan woman in response to her believing faith, the act of faith, it was a concrete testament to the intertwined combination of faith and deeds work. James used the analogy of the body and breath to the faith and work in the closing verse of chapter 2. Just as the body without breath is dead, so is faith without works is dead. Do you see it? Do you see it clear, brothers and sisters? Why is it so hard for some in our congregation to fully accept things among us who used to be out there in the world? Look at it. Look at you. What about you? What you did? Look at me. How did you behave in your life? You've come full circle. Before you did anything that you were old enough to do, now you live a whole different new life. Do you believe faith is an internal and personal thing? Thus, one does not have to prove his or her faith by his or her works. Explain your answer. How about that? Do you believe faith is an eternal and personal thing? And thus, one does not have to prove his or her faith by his or her work. I dare say that you do. Faith without works is dead. You see faith, you see my work. You see work, you see my faith. How about that? Okay. How about that? Let's go to our closing prayer. Loving God, we know that you have called us to be your hands and feet in the world. Look at that, listeners. Antioch listeners, those that are listening worldwide. Loving God, we know that you have called us to be your hands and feet in the world. God works through you. You are the hands and feet and eyes of God. Let God use you. We thank you for giving us a spirit of ministry, a warning to be doers for the least of these. As we go forth, we ask you, Lord, to keep us humble by ensuring that you get all the glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget, next week now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, your home daily Bible readings. You read them for August the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, and Sunday school lesson on August the 23rd. Speech is for healing and refreshment. It is unwise not to listen to your teacher. Proverbs. The testimony of a wise teacher. Slander and abusive language are not allowed. You use the tongue to speak good praise. Believers anointed with fire and tongues. Tongues and teachers are God's gift. Speaking about praise in the Holy Spirit. Next week's lesson for Sunday, August the 23rd, 2020, is Bite Your Tongue. Devotional reading is Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 11. The background scripture is James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 2, 1 through 12, rather. And the printed text is also James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. On behalf of us, all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, Reverend Oliver, Pastor Oliver, all of the deacons, Deacon Clark, and Deacon Turner, and Lett, and Richard, and all of us, we say thank you, and we hope you have a good week. You be safe. You do the things that you need to do to be safe. Obedience, obedience, obedience. Faith without work is dead. Work without faith is dead. Faith without work is dead. Dead works is like the body with no breath. It's a dead body. It's useless. All right. On behalf of all of us, thank you, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.